Shabbat Shalom. Sometimes when we have our personal Bible studies, we get involved with the very deeper things of the Lord. We try and really get into the behind-the-scenes action, if you would, or the meanings behind certain things. And sometimes when we have our group Bible studies, we do the same things. We try and get into the Word deeper and deeper. And those are good things, but sometimes our search for depth overshadows some of the basic things that God has written for us. And so this few verses in Acts chapter 8 that was read as part of the new covenant is where we're going to spend our time this morning, because there's some very basic principles that I would like to share with you from those 15 or so verses that our sister Bonnie read. So if you have your Bibles and you care to follow along, just turn into the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. And we see in the beginning there that it says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Well, we know from Matthew chapter 10 that Philip was one of the 12 apostles. And of course, a logical conclusion to all of this is that Philip is the same Philip. But that's not so, because if we look at the first verse in chapter 8, we see that it says in there the apostle Philip would have been in Jerusalem, because Stephen was just stoned to death for his bold rebuke of the Sanhedrin, and you can read about him in Acts chapters 6 and 7. But what happened was, as it says in Acts chapter 1, and on that day, that's the day of Stephen's death by stoning, a great persecution arose against the Messianic community, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So if the apostles were in Jerusalem, it couldn't be Philip, who that's mentioned in Acts chapter 8, verse 1 that we just read about. So if the apostles didn't leave because of this great persecution, then Philip the apostle obviously was in Jerusalem. And so it was Philip. I'll call him the waiter. That's an appropriate title for this, as we'll see shortly here. You see, Philip the waiter was one of the 7 men that were chosen earlier on in the book of Acts to relieve the apostles of some of their responsibilities. As you recall, the apostles were taking care of the widows and neglecting the word of God. And so they went to the congregation and they said, we have a problem here. We're neglecting the word of God, and so we'd like to appoint some other people to take care of the widows. And the congregation liked that idea and approved it. And after praying about who should be selected, it turns out that there were 7 guys that were selected to take over the waiting on of widows from the apostles. And we see that Philip is one of those people. So now that we know that Philip the waiter is different from Philip the apostle, we'll just kind of continue on here. So these 7 were appointed by the apostles, and they were selected for their office by the praying and laying on of hands. Well, the laying on of hands is not something that just happened here in the book of Acts for the first time. If you recall, going back to the time of Moses, when the children of Israel were about to step into the promised land, Moses wasn't allowed to go, so he had to appoint a successor, and that successor happened to be Joshua. Well, Joshua was selected, and Moses laid his hands on Joshua to appoint him as the new leader of the children of Israel. And so this symbolic act transfers the authority from the apostles, or in this case Moses, to Joshua. And you see here in Roa Israel sometimes that we have people who get hands laid on by the elders, and they survive, you know, what the heck. So don't be afraid of that. However, I say that because that that tradition has followed down along from Moses to present day. For instance, our sister Sharon was up here. She's our Shabbat school minister. And the latest one that I can think of that might have been that we laid hands on to appoint her to that particular position. And so you see that we conferred upon her, transferred upon her, the responsibilities of the Shabbat school minister. And so she gets not only the office, but also the duties and the privileges and the heartaches and the joys, of course, of that particular ministry. And so Philip, we're going back to Philip now, and the other six became servants in and of that particular congregation. And we also read that the congregation continued to grow. And that was pretty important because there's a fact in here that sometimes we easily forget. And sometimes you never hear it in a church. And it's very important because in verse 7, it says, right after we're told about spreading of God's word and the growth of the congregation, we're also told, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Well, these priests were the ones who were in charge of the temple. And it's an important thing to remember because these were the ones who served God in that temple. They're the ones who kept the eternal light burning day and night, who offered sacrifices, who burned incense, who taught the people. And a great many of them were coming to the faith. Well, this faith is in Yeshua. And that's something that you rarely hear outside of a messianic congregation. And as an example of some of these priests, think about Zacharias. He was a priest, and he's found in the book of Luke. And Zacharias is known to us because he's the father of John the Baptist. Do you remember who John the Baptist was? The guy that Pastor Bert talks about running around in the wilderness with honey and grasshoppers sticking in his beard and stuff, you know, that kind of thing. Just kind of a wild man, but nonetheless, he was the one who baptized our Messiah. Anyhow,